You are listening to BensTorah.com.
If a tragedy had to happen to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, so another covers Zebazeh, why did the Rabbanu Shem ultimately orchestrate that this should take place between Pesach and Shavuos? And in general, when you find a concept covered Zebazeh, being a Mechaiva person, some type of Mises Bezdin, and in particular the concept of a Mises Askara, you literally choke to death, and even a bigger question, and that is, if they sinned on such a level that they would deserve the punishment, why is the rest of Klal so shuldif that we got to be Misabo and Avelis on their own Shem? I mean, what shachas do we have to their Avera? I mean, I understand they were punished, maybe their family had to quit, obviously, Miss Abel on what their Mishpacha members did. But then it should be an Avelis Lederos to literally cause such a negative experience during Yimei Sfira is something that requires understanding and comprehension. And I'm going to start off with a premise that, interesting, not only the Rav started off with tonight, but even the speaker by Shavuot Shudas, this past Shabbos, also started off. And that is the connection between Pesach and Shavuos. If you look in the Maror Mekumas, the smaller ones in front of you, on page number one, the first individual to show that in fact there is a connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satar is Moshe in a pasuk that was said to him to say of the Klal Yisrael, that is quotation 5 on page number 1, in which the pasuk says, Zelecha Oz Kenocha Shlachticha, the sign that I have sent you to be the Shliach Hashem to redeem Klal Yisrael, is Behotziach Sa'am in Mitzrayim, when you basically take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Tavdin is Elokim Alahar Hazel, you will worship Hashem on this mountain, the same mountain where the Sneh and Hashem's divine appearance appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu for that time. It was Mamash on that mountain that he says you're going to come back over here, and Tavdin Kim Sahar Hazel. So, quite obviously, from the very, very beginning, Moshe was told that there is a connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim, their Cheiros, and ultimately the ultimate Zman of Kabbalah Sefer itself. But there is no mention explicitly in the actual Pasuk, at least explicitly, how long it's going to take to go from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Kabbalah Sefer for that connection to have halachic reality. That's number one. Number two, what's interesting, is that, as was mentioned many times by the Ramban and others who were involved heavily in Kabbalah, the Chazal looked upon Pesach and Shavuos as basically two bookends of one big Yom Tov, and that's why they said the interim period between Pesach and Shavuos is one big Chol HaMoed. That's the way the Mekubalim looked upon it. There seems to be a Hashlama on Pesach, from Pesach, on the events that take place later on the Yom Tov Shavuos itself. So therefore they call the interim days between Pesach and Shavuos Chol HaMoed. It's a Yom Tov, a Simchas Yom Tov. And the fact of the matter is, as well, is that in the Tfilos we recite in the Haggadah, in the Brachas we make a special Tfilah on Geulah Seinu, which is interpreted to mean Gula, physical freedom, was achieved by Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pedus Nafshenu was first achieved later on when you came to Maamar HaSinai, you were Tavdin Elokim Al Hahar Hazeh. So the obvious question is, what's going on over here? How do we understand the connection between Pesach and Shavuos? Why was this man of Simchas Yom Tov Daraisa Chol HaMoed? Because of an Avera of Tamid Rabbi Akiva, who will on Unagu cover Zebezeh, caused such a tragedy that period was turned out into a Zman of tremendous tragedy, at least for 33 days, with Minhagi Avelis. In the Shulchan Aruch says, the Avelis was because of the Misa of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva during that time frame. And Bichlal, I mean, the whole concept, Lo Novu Kavet Zeb, is that what he means? They were not knowing covet to each other. The concept of the 12,000 peers, why not mention 24, as was mentioned by the Rav downstairs. All of these questions are asked over and over again. And I want to share with you tonight a perspective I have, using a little bit Rav Cutler's Mahalich and expanding upon it to give you an answer that I think that you'll feel comfortable with. So listen carefully as I get into the topic. The first question you have to ask yourself is, historically, when did Klal Yisrael officially start to do any counting between Pesach and Kabbalah Satera Shavuos? Was this only after Kabbalah Satera? Is that when the whole mitzvah came into existence with the mitzvah Sfiras Omer and Karban Omer Kedemer? Or does it go back to an historical time frame? So the fact of the matter is that there's a Medrash Chazal quoted by Rabbi Nissim Laran at the end of Masechtas Pesachim. The Medrash says that as soon as Klal Yisrael had the schus of exiting Mitzrayim be'etzem hayom hazeh on day number 15 of Chodesh Nisan, after they experienced the seder the night before, after they experienced the Makas Becharos, after Paro says, Ad kan ato avde Paro, mikan lahaba atem avde Hashem. So the Medrash tells us, you know, Klal Yisrael sometimes are very impatient. So a whole group of people came over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we remember when you came to us and as a shliach of Hashem, and you basically quoted the pasuk, I take you out of Mitzrayim, telukim al har hazeh. We remember that, Moshe. So we left today. When are we getting to Har Hazeh? There was an impatience. We want to get there quickly. When is it going to be? So Moshe Rabbeinu said to them that instead of being impatient, there was a zman that the Rabbanu Shlom mentioned to me. And the ultimate zman between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Tavdin Elokim is in fact merumiz in one of the words that I quoted, and that is the word ta'avdun. The pasuk could have read ta'avdu and would have meant the same exact thing. There's a nun mosif. Nun is begematria 50. So what Hashem really was merumiz is that the ta'avdun will be 50 days after. So if you guys want to know when Kabbalah Satar is going to take place and stop being impatient and stop heckling every day, no, start counting, and from when you hit day 50, you'll know that's the Zman of Kabbalah Satera. You'll have the exact time frame which was predestined by Hashem from the very beginning. Now, from that Medrash Chazal alone, I would walk away and say, well, if that's the case, it seems that the whole purpose of initially counting for them was merely that they shouldn't chepa Moshe Rabbeinu, and they should be able to have an idea when they're going to get to Tavlo Kim Bahar Hazeh. But it's more of a calendar dating. When is that Yom Tov? When is that event going to take place? So the question arises, when Moshe told them to count, did he tell them to count as a nation? Did he tell them to count personally? And Chazal tell us that theoretically speaking, you would have thought that he told the Bez Din HaGadol, or the Jewish court, to basically start the counting process so they know exactly when the 50th day is. And we have already precedent in Halacha, and that is when it comes to counting Shemitah V'Yovel, not every Jew counts Shemitah V'Yovel separately. It's a mitzvah al HaBez Din for them to count the Shnas HaShemitahs, for them to count the Shmei HaYovel. Every Jew does not count individually. The Bezin counts as the shluchim, as the representatives of the tzibur. So you would have expected the Rabban Hashem to tell Klal Yisrael, I'll have the Jewish leadership, the Ziknei B'nai Yisrael, they'll do the counting for you. And they'll tell you exactly when, in fact, this event's going to take place. So you'll be happy. But Chazal tell us that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu told each and every Jew, on a personal level, to count the 49-50 days. And we have to ask this question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do that? That's number one. What's number two interesting and fascinating is that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sriyas Omer, that was instituted later on after Matan Torah, you find, if you look on page number one, a pasuk, where the pasuk says, in Pashas Emar, Usfartim lechem yimachras ha-shabbos, miyam ha-viachem es eimer ha-tenufa, sheva shabbosus temimis tihena, am yimachras ha-shabbos ha-shviyis tisperu chamishim yom, v'yikrav de mincha chadosh al ha-shem. Furthermore, it says, Shivashuas Tosbe Lachan Machan Chemish Rekama Tachalisperar Shivashuas Vasisachak Shuas Lashem Elokecha. These are the two psukim. Pasuk 1 to count the days of Svira. Pasuk 2 is used as a source to count the weeks of Svira. But the Gemara says, on this specific pasuk, if you turn the page Rabbi Isai to page number 2, it says in the Gemara in Menachos very explicitly, Usfartim lechem shetehei svira lechol echa v'echot. So when it comes to this mitzvah, each and every Jew must count svira sa'omer themselves. And Rashi himself comments over here very, very explicitly on this specific pasuk, lechol echa v'echot, shekol echad, basically speaking, chayiv lispar, that everybody has to count by themselves. Which means, the way Rashi's interpreted, you cannot be yotze with shomei ka'one. You personally have to count, as if it's a mitzvah shebegufo, you do have to do the counting yourself. You can't have somebody count on your behalf, which is our minig today. Everybody counts by themselves. So the fact of the matter is, why was there a hakpada that everybody should count by themselves when it comes to mitzvah l'doros? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jews when they left Mitzrayim, before this was even given as a tayyag mitzvah, each and every one of you got to count the days from leaving Mitzrayim till coming to Matan Maimon Har Sinai? You all got to do it as individuals, not as a tzibor, and count on that specific level. What's going on over here? What's the reason? What's the rationale? So the Mukubalim point out that the fact of the matter is, if the sphere was a calendar date phenomenon, Einachinami, the mitzvah l'daras would have been that the Bezin HaGadol counts, like they count Shemitah v'Yovel. But the fact is the Hakpada to count by yourself individually shows you that something is accomplished. There's some spiritual value in you officially counting every day yourself, and that in fact you can't be yotze with somebody being motzi you with normal shmei ka'ona in the counting. You got to do it on a personal level. And the question is why? So listen very carefully as I give you what I would call the hashkafic, kabbalistic way that they understand Sfiras Omer, even going back to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and how it applies to the mitzvah we do each and every day during our Sfira now. Chazal tell us the reason that the Ribbono Shalom wanted us to have a 50-day hafsaka between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah was not because he couldn't get us there in a shorter period of time. But our problem was, by living 210 years in Mitzrayim and being subject to the Tumas HaMakom, what ultimately happened is the fact of the matter is we were influenced by the spiritual negative environment of Mitzrayim. And Chazal Midrashically always mentioned that we were involved in the Memtesh Shavei Tumah, In fact, the Malachim in the Shemaim, who he said to Hashem, Halalo Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalo Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that we, it seems, had undergone in that period of time a spiritual contamination, being so intimately involved and integrated in the Egyptian society. We had a Yerida Ruchanis, which was tremendous. The only group of people that didn't have Yerida Ruchanis, the Rambam records in the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, was Shevet Levi. But the rest of Klal Yisrael, the Rambam says very explicitly at the end of parak Aleph, we all went back to an idolatrous spiritual deficiency based upon our being in Mitzrayim for such a long period of time. Now, what is interesting is that if that's the case, so what did Klal Yisrael do in the 49 days? So Chazal tell us that during those 49 days, the Rebbe Hashem said, you got 49 sha'arim of tuma contaminating you, you got to do tshuva. You have to spiritually misakin yourself, fix yourself up spiritually, and replace a shahar hatuma every day by tshuva samishka with a shahar hakedusha. So by the time you get to Kabbalah Satira, you're spiritually worthy of being called the Am Segula. You're spiritually worthy of being the recipients of the Torah and being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine representatives in this world. So the period of 49 days, 50 days, going back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, was a zaman of tikkun, of spiritual elevation of Anishama, getting rid of tumah, replacing with Kedusha. And Chazal tell us that we were so successful in that process that the Gemara and the Zohar both record that the day we stood at the foot of Har Sinai, they used the expression Pasach Zuhamasa, the spiritual contamination, even going back to the Eitz Hadas Tevara or Adam V'Chava, was Mesukin by the Tikkun Etshuva they accomplished in those 49 days. The big question everybody asks is, if it took them 210 years to metame themselves, how were they able to get rid of that and to change from Tuma to Tara in 49 days? So the Mekubalim answer, that's one of the reasons that Rabban Hashem surrounded them with Anani HaKavayit in their being in the actual Midbar. The Anani HaKavayit, which was basically an intimate exposure to Hashem, Shechinas Hashem, an incredible Hashgacha Pratis, that experience which surrounded Klal Yisrael for that entire time frame served, to use a modern term, as a spiritual booster rocket to allow them to accomplish with Siyat and Shema Hashem helping them something in a couple of days that took years to accomplish. So therefore Chazal say the word sukkah, which the Gemara later on says in Masech the Sukkah corresponds to Anani HaKavayit. So what does sukkah have to do with Anani HaKavayit according to Shittas Rebbe Elazar? So Chazal say the word sukkah could also mean Shesochim Beruach HaKedesh. Sarah's name was Yiska. If you look in Rashi and Chumash, why would you call Yiska with a samich? Shesochsa Beruach HaKedesh, which means that the Anani HaKavayit served as a mechanism to help us purify ourselves in a quicker, more rapid level, to fix in 49 days that which took 210 to Mekalkal Zayim. So those Anani HaKavayit served as the means to allow our counting each and every day. So it wasn't just counting. It was a day of counting, a day of spiritual reflection, spiritual analysis, spiritual uplifting. Each day we were masakin ourselves. So by the time we came to Maimon Har Sinai, we were mamish pasuk zu amaseinu. So therefore, it was a time of spiritual tikkun. Now, what is interesting and fascinating is that based upon that, if you go back now to the Pasuk on page number one, Pasuk one on page number one, the Ksava HaKabbalah quoted the Mekubalim point out, this in fact is the purpose of Sfir L'Doros as well. How do we see this? Because it says, Usfartim Lechem, which means everybody has to count by themselves, as the Gemara says, from the day after you leave Mitzrayim, Miyam Aviachim is Omet Tenufa, Sheva Shabbos is Temimis Tiyana. Usually the Lashon should have been Sheva Shuas Shalemos. complete weeks. To use the term Sheva Shavas as Tamim Mistayana is being Marames to the special biblical meaning of Tamimais. And that describes the seven-week counting and the day counting going from between Pesach up into Shavuos. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim point out, the Chassidim both points out, that the word Tamimus we have mentioned explicitly twice in Chumash. By Avram and Pashas Lech Lecha, at the end before he's given the mitzvah Bris Milah, his Halech Lefanai Veheye Tamim. Later on in Sefer Devarim, in Pashas Shaftim, it says, Tamim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. So says over here, the Baal Ksav HaKabbalah, what is the meaning of Tamimais? And why, in fact, are the weeks called Sheva Shabbosos? If you notice, Rabbi Yisrael, in Pasuk number 2, which is also referring to Sfiras HaOmer, there it says Shiva Shavuos. Why in Pasuk 1, which is referring to the same time frame, does it say Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos? Why the change of phraseology? So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, according to Kabbalistic literature, as he many times does, points out that the word Shabbos or Sheves has a major spiritual connotation. And he says the makkah for his mahalach over here is a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim articulated by David. What does David say? That he praised Hashem, Shifti bebeis Hashem koy mechayai, lachzais benoyim Hashem, ulavaka behechacholah. So says the Ksav HaKabbalah of Mecklenburg, he says, what's about shifty? Does you have a place to sit? The king has to worry about that. So he says the word shifty, and that means not just sitting in the base medrash, being able to sit in a place and basically concentrate on analysis of spiritual texts, spiritual yesodos, yishuv b'inyonim elokiyim, to be involved in spiritual reflection, introspection, analysis. So David was about as busy as I am, Rabbi Nishalom, even as a melech. Give me the time frame, give me the ability to be able to involve myself in an amkis and learning. Shifti bebeis koy mechayai, that I should be able to benefit from the learning, lach sesponeshon lach behechalo, to elevate myself spiritually. So says Rav Mecklenburg, what the Rabbeinu Shem is being megala in the phraseology of this pasuk is, you're counting 49 days and 7 weeks. It's not just a counting calendar date. It basically is a duplication of the value of the counting that Klal Yisrael did when they left Mitzrayim, which is also spiritual reflection, spiritual analysis, counting with the purpose of evaluating your life as a Baal HaMusar, a Baal HaShkafa, and trying to elevate yourself. So Ladaros, the kavana therefore of your counting was, you should have Sheva Shabbosos, 7 weeks of spiritual reflection, 7 weeks of spiritual analysis and elevation. The result should be by the time you finish those weeks, Tamimus Tiyana, you should raise yourself to the level of being Tamim and Hashem Elokecha, or as Avram, Hislav Tamim. When you're a Tamim, it means you're so medubak, you're so connected, but the Vekas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you reach the highest levels of the Vekas a human being can achieve in this world. That's what Avram accomplished, and Hashem asked him to strive to do that. Bris Milah was going to help him accomplish that. Klaus was told as a mitzvah l'daris, and the Rabban includes this as one of the missing mitzvahs asay, Tamim Hashem Elokecha. That's what we got to strive to do. The period of time that Hashem gives us siyata d'shmaya, even though we don't have a nanya cover today, but the zman of sfira was therefore given a microcosmic spiritual power dating back to the time of the original event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. To say it was zman tikkun then, on a microcosmic level, it's a zman tikkun today. The sphere, the counting, and all of that works together with us, that our own personal counting, our own cheshbon nefesh, is we're not misaking ourselves as a nation in general. We're involved in being misaking ourselves as an individual. And the personal counting tells you, tikkun is not sufficient. Hashem wants you to masaki yourself on your own personal spiritual plane, the same way Klal Yisrael did when they left Mitzrayim. Each one had to count separately. Each one has to count today. And therefore, Shetei Sfir Chol Echa V'Echa, since it's a sphere of tikkun, of spiritual rectification, even the words you say, ask for, it's like a Tfilat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to show you very shortly that Hashem should give you the Siyata D'Shma you need, like they had then, to elevate yourself. You can't be Yotze with somebody else's sphere, because their tikkun ain't going to help you. You got to be masaking yourself. So where Rashi holds halach l'masa v'chola terekula shomeya ka'ina, and that shita's Harashi, Rashi says over here it ain't going to work, because over here, since it's tikkun atzmi, that's the crucial factor. We don't allow shomeya ka'ina to be operative. Shetehe svira l'chol ech v'echad, mimicking the operation of Klal Yisrael b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every time you come through the svira period, each and every year, halacha lamasa, you are replicating that on a microcosmic level, and the tikkunim you accomplish then, you can accomplish theoretically now through this mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, and that's why it's called Sheva Shabbosos Tamimus Diyana. I'm giving you the Siyata Deshmaya in this period to accomplish it. That's why he brings down Kabbalistically that the Chazal looked upon the period from Pesach to Shavuos as one big Yom Tov, because the beginning of the tikkun is at the very beginning, Rabbi Yisrael, when you leave Mitzrayim, and the completion of the spiritual pedus nafshenu is completed at the end of the sphere period when you come to Kabbalah Sater itself. So therefore, since it's one big period of tikkun, it was looked upon as one big chol hamoed, one big Yom Tov. The haschola of the tikkun started with Pesach, that's the sumeira, the seitayv was the entire period of counting Sfira up until Kabbalah Satera. Every year on a deraisa level, we are replicating this on a Kabbalistic level, and that's why the halachas I mentioned to you basically apply, and therefore that's why on the deraisa level, theoretically speaking, it was a period of Simchas Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, because you needed both Yom Tovim sandwiching this period in time to replicate the initial Yetziah and to duplicate each and every year. You needed that scenario as a mitzvah deraisa ledaraos to duplicate that and to replicate this. The famous question that's posed by Bayis Rishon, Hashem asked the question to everybody, to the Vim, Lama of the Aretz, and there's the famous Gemara Masechtas Nedarim, where the Gemara tells us none of the Levim could answer the question. Why? Because they went into all the Bata Midrashos, so everybody's to be learning and learning and learning and learning. Torah is a Megan and a Matzil. So if everybody was involved in learning, how could the Chatoyim of Bayis Rishon take place, the ultimate cause of destruction, their spiritual exposure to Torah Yom V'Laila should have been Megan and Matzil, which the Gemara says Torah has the capacity. So what the Ran says, the Ran says that that's only if you're learning Torah for the proper purposes with the Kavana, Kedusha, Vatara, where it's a spiritual experience. Torah is making a matzah. So if you use what Hashem gives you as a spiritual power in a spiritual way, it's a making a matzah. If you misuse it as an intellectual or some type of other type of phenomenon, its ability to be matzah making basically is not accomplished. Klal Yisrael, once they basically departed from their spiritual uplifting, the ego took place after Matan Torah, not before Matan Torah. So up until Matan Torah, they were using their spiritual tikkun in the proper fashion, and after Kabbalah Satera, for whatever reason, Klal Yisrael decided after Moshe didn't come back to get involved in the Egel Hazav. That Yerida Ruchanis Chazal said was so negative, it was literally a cackle all of the tikkun that Danane HaKavod had given you in those 49 days. So whatever Pazak Zuma was accomplished after the Egel Azav, the contamination, the 49 Tuma, once again descended, because you quite obviously did not use your experience in a positive way and you negated it, and quite obviously that upset the entire. I don't want to be marich, but that's the answer I'm giving to your question. But let's get back to this. Now, if that's the case, what I want to point out to you, therefore, is we're not just counting numbers. Sphere itself is a time frame where there's a spiritual rectification. And one of the most beautiful proofs to this thesis, Rabbi Isai, turn to page 2, is look at the tefillah we recite after, at least people are supposed to recite this, after you count Svira. This is printed in every Siddur, where you have the tefillah of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Listen to this. Rabbeinu Shalom atotzi visanu aydei Moshe avdecha, lispar Svira se'omer. What's the reason of counting? Kedei latareinu miklipeoseinu mitumoseinu, kamosha kasafta betarasecha. Where is it written there? Which means that we in our counting should literally replicate what was accomplished by Klal Yisrael. Then, Bitzias Mitzrayim, our counting should replicate that activity today. I'm able to fix the pagam and replace it with kedusha. So you don't have the nusach of the tefillah already indicates we're not just counting for calendar day purposes. The sphere is a mahus of spiritual tefillahs or whatever it is that allows us to elicit a certain kedushas hazman and siyata d'shmaya to accomplish now in our sphere what Chazal accomplished going back many, many generations earlier. So that's part number one, what I want you to know. That's why when the question is asked, why does the Shema work over here? Because we're not just saying over a nusach tefillah. If we're saying Nusach HaTfilah, Shatz can be mighty, Shemaya Kaina. We're saying a Baracha, you're hearing Kriyas Megillah, Kriyas Tara, Shemaya Kaina. But where the actual Nusach is part of the Tikkun of your personal Neshama,
you are listening to Ben's Torah.
He's explicitly, Rashi says, Shekolchad Chayiv Lispar.
Yeah, but he doesn't say it can't be.
But I'm telling you the way he's interpreted by all the Gedolei Achronim. If I'm telling you that's the way Rashi's interpreted,
every individual has to do it. That's what Shemaya
Kohanim
means.
No. So let me share with you a little insight when it comes to that. Okay. But you have to. No, I have an answer for your question, but the answer is a little more lumdish. It's brisk, but I think you can handle brisk as well. The fact of the matter is, the briskers themselves ask a very simple question. Rashi says over here, you have to count it by yourself. Tesis on the side doesn't say that. Tesis says on the side that Bezin doesn't count, but you got to do it yourself. Now, what's the machlekes Rashi and Tesis? There is a machlekes Rashi and Tesis. So say, Reb Chaim and the Briskes, it's the yesedistik of machlekes between Rashi and Tesis in Masechtas Sukkah and Masechtas Brachos. How the concept of Shomeya Ka'ona works. And listen very carefully, because you'll see, because in the Maram HaKamas, Rabbi Yisai, for those who have a right to take this home court, obviously, what I want to show you, where I'm getting this from, because I'm not dreaming this up, it's on page number 5, where the Briskes say, the machlok between Rabbi Natan and Rashi, if a person is standing in Shemona Esrei, and they're saying Kedusha, what should be your response? Should you keep your mouth shut and listen b'yotze Shemaya Ka'oneh? Or is if by doing that, you're being mafsik in the tefillah, and therefore, on the contrary, ignore what's going on and continue. So the Briskes say the machlok between Rashi and Tosfos is what is the mechanics of Shemaya Ka'oneh? Is the mechanics of Shemaya Ka'oneh the Shemaya connected to your listening and him saying? It's as if you are saying it yourself. Is that Shemaya Ka'oneh? Or is the din of Shemaya Ka'oneh the din of Shalucho Shal Adam Kamosa? Him saying and me listening allows it to be a connection. Shalucho Shal Adam Kamosa. I'm going to have the key in my mitzvah, but the ma'isa mitzvah is done for me by somebody else. If you say it's Shemaya Ka'oneh Mamish, the ma'isa mitzvah is being done by me by listening to the other person. So says the Briskes, that Rashi Lishitasa and Tosfos Lishitasa, they both held that the halacha lamasa shetei sfir l'chol echa v'echad, everybody has to count themselves. But their respective lumdas of how Shemaya Ka'oneh works came out with different maskanas. according to Shitas Taisvis, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, Shomeya Ka'ona Mamish. So if that's the case, when I hear somebody counting, Shomeya Ka'ona, it's as if I counted myself. And that's why I could be Yotze, because it's as if I'm actually counting personally. And the Tikkun applies to me, as if I counted. Shitas Taisvis. But if you hold a Shitas Rashi, it's not I'm counting. I'm yoytze b'torah shluch shalom kamosa. He's being motzi me, but he's doing all the verbiage. So the ma'isa mitzvah he's doing, I'm getting a kiyum of the mitzvah. But the ma'isa mitzvah they're doing, the problem is by sfiras ha'imer, it's not just a kiyum halacha. It's like a mitzvah shebegufo where the ma'isa is as crucial as the kiyum. I can be yoytze by somebody being my sarek putting on tefillin for me. I have to put on the tefillin by my own body for the tefillin to be mekadosh me. I should benefit from the kedushas that tefillin. So they're learning that according to Shita Sarashi, the way he learns the Siddin Shulsh Adam Kamoso, as the purpose of Sfira is to mekadosh yourself and elevate yourself, like putting on a mitzvah shebegufo, like tefillin. And it works with Shlokhagbi Kamoso. I don't accomplish that by having somebody count for me. For Tosis, you're right. If Shemei is Kaina Mamish, I don't have to count by myself. But according to Shita Sarashi, the way the Achrayim learn Shita Sarashi, each one's Lashita. So that's the way they answer your question. It's an excellent question, but that's the way the Briskas answer your question. Let's go back to this now. Now, why is this so important? And how does this relate to Talmid Rebbe Akiva? So the fact of the matter is that Rav Aaron Kotel Zatzal, other Gedolim point out, that Rabbi Kiva, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, he was really that Gedol who allowed the Mesorah of Torah to be able to survive Churban Bayis Sheni. He was the one really who was there B'Shas Churban, the one who continued the Mesorah. And the fact of the matter is, Rabbi Kiva was the one who kept Klal Yisrael in their belief and hope of ultimate redemption, Mashiachios. Remember, when Bar Kochba came along, and Bar Koziva came along, he thought that he was already part of the Mashiachios, of the redemption of Klal Yisrael, and they believed, in fact, that he was until something happened to demonstrate otherwise. So the fact of the matter is, Rabbi Kiva, besides being the Baal Masores, he also witnessed the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban of Beit HaMikdash, where millions of Jews were killed, they weren't even committed to burial. So Rabbi Kiva himself was involved in tremendous witnessing of tragedies, but he was a basher, he was always called the eternal optimist. No matter whatever happened, he was always Gamzor L'Teva. You could imagine Rabbi Kiva having established the biggest yeshiva that ever existed in the world with 24,000 Talmidim. All of a sudden, within 33 days, losing all those Talmidim. I mean, any other Rosh Yeshiva would have hung up his cloak and said, I'm a failure, and given up. What did Rabbi Kiva do? So the Gemara says, I have it over here in Yomar Mekamos. The Gemara says, in Yavamos, he went and he saw that there was Shmam in the world. He had his Mesores now totally destroyed, no longer any Talmidim. So he went and he found five more Chachamim Shebedarom, who were basically spiritually and intellectually brilliant, and he gave them over to the Mesores. Those five Talmidim ensured that the Mesores he had going back to Har Sinai with all his Chidushei Torah would be perpetuated to later generations. Many of them were the ones who mechaber later on the Mechilta and the Sifras and the Sifreis and the Zohar, so his Talmidim were responsible for making the Mishnayos, for the Tosefta's, for making all the literature of Torah that we have today really emanated from his Talmidim. So Chazal say, if that's the case, Rabbi Kiva himself, when it comes to Mesorah HaTorah, if we have Torah today, it was Rav Kiva being the eternal optimist and never giving up hope, even in the greatest tragedy, that kept Torah going ad hayom hazeh. Now we come to Rav Aaron Kotel. So Rav Aaron Kotel says that when it comes to Chochmas HaTorah, and this comes back to something I mentioned to both of you a couple of minutes ago, the concept of learning Torah is not just an intellectual discipline. We have a principle, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, or Derech Eretz Kadam El Torah, which means to say, when the Rabban Hashem gave his Torah Sinai, it wasn't that he just wanted it to be a bunch of intellectual geniuses memorizing facts. and being able to transfer that intellectualism to the next generation, as that goes on in colleges today, where in their own personal life they could be mushchasim, but they're intellectuals, and you know, zelechut v'zelechut. The Rav, the Bartanura, says in his Hagdamah to Pirkei Avos that the first mission of Pirkei Avos, which is the Rabbi Issa in the second group of sheets, and Moshe Kibbul Torah in Sinai, the big question everybody asks is, this mission should have been written in the beginning of Seder Zerayim, before Masechtas Brachos, to tell us that all of Mishnayos, Torah Shabbat, came from Sinai. Why in the world did Rebbe save it as a Hagdamah to Pirkei Avos, which is a Musaf Sefer? So the famous teretz given by him and others is because people in the world at large at that time, and even to this day, look upon ideas and concepts of menschlichkeit, of ethics, of morals, as more of a human invention, a human endeavor, and we define based upon subjectivity with the rights and the wrongs of society. And that's why progressives have their problems and non-progressives have their problems. Everybody has either extreme views in all directions because you think it's a human concept and you can define the criteria. When it comes to rules and regulations, which is looked upon more as a governmental phenomenon, that's something objectively everybody got to observe. Now, says the Bartanura, that the Rabbeinu Shem wanted us to know that not only were the technical halachas of tayag mitzvahs, the technical rules and regulations and the infrastructure of the technicalities of Torah Shel Peh from Sinai, but even the mussar and hashkafa and the midas tevis and the personality traits of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves were not left subjectively for us to make those determinations. That was given to us by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Halach de bederacha, we have to emulate the midas tevis of Hashem, as they mentioned in Torah, one of the tayag mitzvahs. So when he was mekabel Torah miSinai, it wasn't only the halachic sections, even Pirkei Avos. All of this was miSinai. The only reason it's attributed to different chachamim is different chachamim in different generations emphasize one of these midas for tikkun of his generation. But everybody was mekabel all of this because this was the master plan of human conduct. So the concept of Derech Eretz Kadem El Torah, the concept of Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, is what basically that specific mission of Pirkei Avos is trying to emphasize. And over here comes along Rav Kotler, and he says the following. The Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, as the Rav mentioned downstairs, it could have said 24,000. It said 12,000 pairs. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva was such a brilliant genius, he was able to perceive the kishronos of his Talmidim. So when they came into his yeshiva, he as the Rosh Yeshiva did the personal job of making the chavruses between people who he felt were intellectually and spiritually on the same exact plane. So when it says 12,000, they were perfectly matched with each other, that it should be a gavaldik, a chavrusa, and they should steig in terem, mechamta, shol ter, etc., etc. The problem was, when the Gemara says, lo nogu kavu ze bezeh, or ho ye'eno tzara, the other Lashon Medrash, what happened over here is, their brilliance and everything else got the better of them, and therefore they felt their brilliance, their knowledge and such, even though they were matched up with another guy, you're not on my dagger, either hashkafically or halachically. And not only did they act that way by refraint, but they even articulated it. If you look in the Netziv, in his Hagdama to Sefer Bereishis, he says, what was the pshat of Sinas Chini before we even get to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim? That they used to debase each other, saying, you're hashkafis, you know, I use a modern terminology, du bist a tzioni, and ich bin a chrei, which basically they debased each other, they put each other down. When they saw hashkafically, or otherwise, this great chacham like them was acting differently, instead of saying elu ve'elu, they put the other person, there was a verbalization of their negativism, it wasn't just merely something in their machshava. So you would have thought that after seeing Sinas Chinim being the reason for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that was going on before Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim came along, you would think that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim would have learned a lesson. And when the Rebbe matched them up, And in fact, the Rebbe's basic klal was, the only debate you have, did he say that before their destruction, or did he say that after the destruction as a way of a Musa Shmuz to the next generation? That's the debate about Mefarshim. But one thing is for sure, that their actions to each other was a continuation of the Sinas Chinam that existed during Bayis Sheni. And the fact is that since they were the gedolim of the future generations, Rabbi Kiva's great Tamidim, brilliant geniuses, for them to act in such a disrespectful way with one of their fellow Tamidim who was perfectly matched to them, Hashem adakti betzadikim kechut ha'sara, it caused an incredible chilul shem shamayim. And that chilul shem shamayim showed you they didn't possess the midas tevis, the qualities of midas derech eretz, that a Talmid Chacham is supposed to have in order to be able to be a proper Mosa Torah. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said, if that's the case, as brilliant as they are intellectually, and they could give over intellectually, if their deeds, if their Derech Eretz Kavanah Torah is not in existence, and acting so disrespectful, causing a Chil Hashem, they can't be the ones to be most of the Torah to the next generation. And since they verbalized it, which is one of the questions asked below, they will punish me, the keneged me. If you articulated the negativism and put the other guy down, not just b'machshava, you're going to basically be punished me, the keneged me. You're going to get askara, who's there for a midah, punish me, the keneged me. Because it's not just they just enam tzara, alonago, they articulated the negativism. So there was no choice. Now, why between Pesach and Shavuos? So says Rav Aaron Cutler, because at the end of the day, the whole purpose, as we said from the very beginning, between Pesach and Shavuos, at the first time and Ladaros, was a time of tikkun of Klal Yisrael. Tikkun of Klal Yisrael, not only mitzad, the fact that we're trying to get away from the Memtesh Shari Tuma that unfortunately contaminate us each and every year, but it's a time of being misakin yourself, fixing yourself up with Kedusha V'tara. So by the time you come to Kabbalah Sateira, it's not the only fact that you have Memtes Shari Kedusha, but you're Bala Derech Eretz, you're Bala Kovid, Derech Eretz, Kadim Lotari, all the Midas Tovas you're supposed to have, which Klai so potentially did have, because at Hasina it said, Ki Ish Echad, Ubelev Echad. So at that juncture, there was incredible love, Achdus Midas Tevis. So it wasn't just taking away the Tumah Mitzrayim. There was a Tikkun Hamidos, Tikkun HaChachma. That's what it's supposed to be, and that's what Sphere was supposed to be. The Rabbeinu Shalom therefore sent a very strong subliminal message to Rabbi Kiva and the generation that what they did is by ignoring the Tikkun Hamidos HaKadayim and being Mavata one another, what they demonstrated is they didn't learn what Sphere was supposed to be. They didn't demonstrate their Eretz Kadmo Torah, and etc., and etc. They were not machshiv, the chacham and the brilliance of the other person being machkem you. And as a result of that, what ultimately happened was that chil Hashem Shemayim, since it undermined and undercut the purpose of the Zman of Tikkun and the Simchas Yom Tov that's combining Pesach to Shavuos, they were bedafka taken away in that time period to show you where they were pogam for you to get the subliminal message. So says Rav Aaron Cutler, what happened in Klal Yisrael, therefore, was a Musa Shmuz to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, quite obviously, when he picks to his next group of five Tamidim, he got five that, if you look at the Mamari Chazan, I once did a study upon this, they all spent a lot of time, not only talking about Adam Lamakam, but spending Mamaran on Bein Adam Lachaver as well, to emphasize the Derech Eretz Kadam Latayra. So that's one thing. Number two is, the Mefarshim, whether it's the Avud Ramadha, say the meaning of Klal Yisrael, therefore, since there was an Avelis that was created each and every year between Pesach and Shavuos, we should work on Amidos besides everything else. The meaning was to say Pirkei Avos each and every week, so that we try to misaken not only our intellectual, spiritual facts, but work on Amidos Tevis to correct the mistakes. But the obvious question, which I asked before, which Rav Aaron and I now asked the question, but it was their sin. Why are we punished? Why is our Zman of the, that was supposed to be Zman of Chol HaMoed and Simcha and such, Because they did what they did, lechel Hashem, they'll punish Hashem. That should be a zman of avelus and undermine and undercut our simcha scholamayet. Yeah. So the answer is what is the avelus on? He says, is the avelus on the chait of what they performed? If the avelus on the chait of what they performed, there shouldn't be avelus for klaus because we didn't sin. You know what the avelus is? The Avelis is, look how much Torah we have today by five of his Talmidim. Can you imagine the amount of Torah we would have had if all 24,000 Talmidim would have stayed alive and they would have been Marbitz Torah? The size of Klal Yisrael, the level of depth of Klal Yisrael. So we are mourning the loss of the Torah they could have taught us but was taken away from us because of their inappropriate activity. So the avelus is the avelus of the loss of that level of Torah. It's not basically their sin. Their sin was their sin. They should be punished. So it's an avelus of the loss of the Torah that could have been there, Rav Aaron says, is what will be misabel upon. So the fact of the matter, if that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, what we therefore see is that the avelus itself is not basically something extraneous to Sphira. On the contrary, the whole concept of why there was a velus and we are still inflicted with it is because Chazal make a very interesting statement. On the chait of Bayis Rishon, of Avodah Zarah Gilurais V'Shichas Hadam, the Gemara says that in 70 years, Klai so did a Tshuva Gemura, and there was total Tikkun HaChet. When it comes to the Sinas Hachinim of Churban Bayis Sheni, not only has it been fixed, it's been continued. And as the Bali Musa say, if you want that specific concept of negativism and sinas chilim and all the churbanos that have resulted to basically disappear, specialize in avas chilim rather than sinas chilim. When we do that type of tshuva gemura, we'll come to a period of time. I'm not saying it's not. But that's the way Rav Kook always mentioned that the way we're going to massacre the Avelis and bring it back to the Yontif it should be is when we start doing a Tshuva Gemura and Klais are returned back together. And if you look at the Nevuas, going back to Nevuas in Tanakh, you will find that one of the major themes is not merely only the physical return of Klais to Eretz Israel, but the return to an Achtus, Kishecha Balevecha, that exists at Maimon HaSinai. That's one of the aspirations. That's one of the goals. And Chazal say, if there was no Achdus in Klal Yisrael, so what do you need a base of Mikdash to Ma'achid people if there is Sinas Chinam? When Klal Yisrael will show that there's an Achdus and we want to join together, Kishe Avalei Vechod, we'll deserve a base of Mikdash because the purpose of the Mikdash is Kishe Avalei Achdov, is to Mechaber. So when we're ready to do that tshuva, Hashem will give us the Mikdash to help facilitate to reach those levels. And quite obviously the tikkun we want to accomplish will basically come into place. Our velus will be removed. The Yom Tefler will once again be resumed. And all the tikkun will take place. So Sphira Baisai is very intricately related as a tefillas tshuva tikkun kedaymer. The avelus will show you what happens when you don't use it for that purpose. And let's hope and pray that we're misaken what we should do and the love that exists in our kehila. Halavai, everybody should feel that tight-knitness, closeness, intimacy, love, concern, and helping one another. That's the source of gula. Klal Yisrael, Chazal say, the ultimate gula is going to take place. When there's chesed and love amongst the Jews, that will be the harvest of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.